702.
Nola knows.
Time for Wendy Nola, as we do on a Thursday. Wendy, happy Thursday. How are you doing?
And to you, Elabakhile, I'm great. How are you?
I am fantastic and always excited to delve into the many consumer issues that we get to deal with. But before we kick off, I want to ask you something on air. So somebody had tweeted me and also tagged yourself asking about help with a UIF issue. And I thought we could use this opportunity to really just touch on what you cover as a consumer rights journalist, because I know with your wealth of experience, many people think you can solve many issues that might fall outside of your jurisdiction. So give us the highlights view of what are the issues that you do cover, even though you may have heard of it or read of it before. What is your exact speciality and what falls under consumer protection issues or consumer rights issues?
Okay, so it's essentially when cases that have arisen out of a consumer having an issue with a service provider, a company that they have contracted with or done business with in some way. So everything from supermarket issues to car dealerships, as regular listeners will know, to insurance, banking issues, cars is a huge category, that sort of thing. Labor is not my speciality. I've focused for the last 25 years on consumer issues. Mm. So matters between employers and employees, not so much. UIF is consumer versus government. I have to confess that I have a lot more, I'm a lot more effective in getting responses and results when the case is against a corporate than I am when it involves an organ of government. Yes. I'll just put it out there. That's the reality of it. So UIF, I don't know. I'm sorry, I haven't seen that case at all.
She just asked the question around, and for the life of me, I can't now find the tweet, but basically she was asking a question around the fact that, you know, are you able to assist if she's trying to do a claim from UIF, but she's not winning? And my response was, you know, you focus on consumer rights issues, but I wasn't 100% clear if that falls within your jurisdiction. My assumption was that it didn't.
It's not really. I don't have, I mean, what I often do to try and help behind the scenes is that I will get hold of, I know a couple of labor lawyers, and I'll say, what do you advise here? And then I'll privately say, you know, try this or whatever. But
yes,
labor related issues isn't my normal stock and trade. It's not where my expertise and vast experience lies.
So
thank you for asking that question.
Yes, yes. So in essence, where you spent money for a service or a product, you paid for something and something was owed to you in exchange, those are usually the issues that you deal with, which can range from a whole variety of things that we cover.
Yeah, all sorts of problems in consumer land where you've paid your money for a product or service and it hasn't gone according to plan. You feel that you were shortchanged or ripped off or whatever. Mm. And then, you know, and just as we always have to just say, to avoid getting people's hopes up or making them feel that, you know, if they send an email, that the unfortunate reality is, I mean, someone sent me an email that said, "Hello, Wendy Nola and team." Well, I wish.
Wendy Nola is the team. Yes.
Yeah. So I sometimes don't even see emails because they pour in faster than I can get to them while I'm dealing with other things as well. So while I totally understand the frustration of that. Mm. You desperately need help, and write to Wendy Nola, and I don't even respond. I'm terribly sorry about that. It really is the worst part of this job for me, and it weighs very heavily on me that I yes. can't help everyone or even answer every email. But that is the reality of it. I do try and take up as many cases as I can, but yes. without any assistance, I am limited.
Okay, and then the last one, what about spaces for, let me give a simple scenario. Let's say I am booked into a private room at the hospital, so I'm paying for it myself, but I'm not happy with the quality of the food because that's now medical space. Do you ever get involved in that kind
of?
Oh, you do? Okay, cool. See, these are
so
good
hospitals
things.
Or service providers, sometimes they think they're operating in a different plane,
yes,
or universe in terms, yes, of their obligations for service provision. I'm talking about the medical profession, but they are service providers and they're not exempt. I mean, they fall under the Health Professions Council, and the medical aid issues, Council for Medical Schemes. But in terms of, you know, a service provision, you pay for a service, and if it's not as advertised or not up to scratch, of course that would fall into the realm of what of the kind of cases that I take up.
All right, I'm glad we cleared that up, and you also gave the disclaimer on the fact that you are on your own. There is no team. You do your best to help as many people as possible. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we jump onto the first topic, and then we will be opening the lines as well. Get your questions in 072-702-1702.
Nola knows.
18 minutes after 2 o'clock, we are with Wendy Nola for our Consumer Rights Feature, Nola Knows. And we take your calls on 011-883-0702 and the WhatsApp line 072-702-1702. Wendy, let's jump into our very first topic.
Sure. Okay, we're talking Viagogo and its sister brand StubHub, which it took over a few years ago. And so it's very controversial. They are... a lot of people have bought tickets here and many other parts of the world, not actually realizing they bought from Viagogo, just to do the Google thing, want tickets to whatever. The result pops up, they pay their money, and then they get to the venue, and the venue, they get told, sorry, we don't accept Viagogo or StubHub or any other third-party reseller site tickets. And then what? Well, Viagogo says they have a warranty. It's low risk because if you are denied entry to any event that you have ever a Viagogo issued ticket for, then you can get a refund. So that's okay, but in many cases, people have a big fight on their hands to get the refund. And then what about if you have traveled to another city to attend a festival or a concert and you've already, you know, you've incurred travel costs and accommodation costs, and the tickets are now sold out? I mean, you're never going to get compensated for that. So a couple of emails we've had from people in the Joburg area about their experiences with Viagogo and StubHub, thought let's discuss this issue again and let listeners be aware of the issues. So the first thing to note is that Viagogo is on record as saying in all parts of the world, there's nothing that makes it illegal for us to pass on, sell or give tickets to other people or for anyone else for that matter, and that their business model falls within that. So there's, you know, that's the first thing. Secondly, they say that the official booking agents for whatever the gig is, the festival, the sporting event, the I don't know if they sell this. Yeah, sporting events, of course, rugby, etc. They are being anti-competitive and they want to just control the ticketing distribution and they're not working to the best interests of fans. Okay, so first case study, Vilabhile, is Ernest, who wrote to us last week after, or maybe the week before now, after two tickets that he'd bought to the Geoffrey Osborne concert at Empress Palace. Well, he wasn't able to get entry to the concert. He'd paid just under 300 rand with all the extra fees and et cetera for the two tickets. And then he had to pay another 1900 rand for another two. So at that point, for the two tickets, he was out of pocket almost 4000 rand, imagine. So he tried to engage with StubHub. And he said he was one of the agents. Well, he was getting no answer. And then when he got one of those promotional emails saying, you know, this is, do you want to book for this? He used that address, wrote to them and said, I need a refund. These tickets couldn't get me in. What actually happened was, which is quite interesting, is he says they were handed a note saying, we do not accept by Ticket Pro, who were the official ticketing agents for that concert. We do not accept Viagogo tickets, right? Viagogo says, he says he got an apology, but he didn't get a refund. So I wrote to Viagogo and I said, what went on here? What about your your warranty. They weren't able to get entry. And they say it was actually by error. They say Ernest, the confirmation email that he was sent when he bought the tickets was sent to him, but it bounced. The seller sent the tickets on March 16, which was about 3 days after he booked them, which bounced too, according to our review. But as I said, he was given that note saying they don't accept Viagogo tickets anyway. So whether it was what Ernest had was, interestingly, because it was his first time using the site, he wanted to protect himself. Great advice. He took screenshots along the way of everything, so he could see the ticket, the confirmation, what he'd paid, everything else. So StubHub is saying, well, it's because he only had screenshots and not the actual tickets that there was a problem. But they're saying, well, they were handed a little note saying they don't accept them anyway. So that could be a bit of a moot point. But anyway, Viagogo, StubHub, same company. The seller uploaded the tickets correctly and the buyer should have been able to access them directly from the StubHub account. But due to buyer error, they were unable to receive their tickets. The good news is that they offered Ernest 100% refund after our intervention, and he got his money back in the early hours of about 3 days ago. So at least he got that, almost 3,000 rand back. Viagogo says they're now, in responding to that query, they saw fit to also give some tips for ticket holders. Monitor your inbox and junk mail for your ticket delivery confirmation and details that should come on the day of the purchase. Check the order confirmation to make sure the tickets are for the date and time you intended. And if anything's incorrect, immediately contact customer service. Well, Ernest didn't have much luck contacting customer service, but anyway. And so they go on. Ernest says, when I told him it was apparently, according to StubHub, it was his fault, he said, I explained fully my reason for taking screenshots of the entire process while purchasing these tickets. It was purely for my own reference, since I was using the service for the first time. Little did I know that doing so was going to come in handy like now. He says, and this is interesting, it was also indicated on one of their confirmation or proof of payment orders, which I also took a screenshot of. Some event tickets are made available on the day of the event. So he wasn't that concerned going along that he didn't actually have the tickets, because he'd read that, they could only come on the last day. So there you go. I did try and get an official comment from Ticket Pro via their media liaison email address, which they published, but that was on Monday. I've had no response yet, unfortunately, but I did see they posted on Instagram. Please note that only tickets purchased from Ticket Pro will be accepted at Ticket Pro events. Please do not purchase tickets from Viagogo. So there it stands. So that's certainly a warning to take on board. And then the second case was Tandi, who's was slightly different. In August last year, she bought tickets for the Cape Town International Jazz Festival via Viagogo. That was supposed to happen in February, but was postponed to weekend after next, the first weekend of May. So they were going on the Sunday. It was a gift for her husband, who's very into jazz. And she says, now Viagogo started advertising the same event again. So I expected my order to be upgraded, but it still remains as a postponed event. So she's been trying to get hold of customer support for over a month, she says. No meaningful response. She says, now her quandary is that she needs to book air tickets and accommodation. And, of course, the longer you wait, the more expensive these things get. Lastminute.com. And she says, first I was told I'd get a response after 7 days. Then they needed another 3 days. And then now it's over a month. And all they're telling her is that if you can't get entrance, you'll be refunded. But as I say, I mean, you're still out of pocket, right? So anyway, so I took up the case with Viagogo and explained the issue. And yesterday, the press office got back to me to say the team has confirmed that the event has been rescheduled and the buyers have been notified via email. The new date is the 4th and 5th of the 5th of May. That's the Sunday at 5 p.m. The seller is required to transfer the tickets to the buyer by May the 3rd. So Tanda doesn't know if that's going to happen or not, right? And then they say the buyer is protected by the Viago guarantee, which ensures that they will receive tickets on time. In the unlikely event that there are any issues, but Viagogo will provide alternative tickets or a refund. Well, how do they know that they can provide alternative tickets if they arrive on the day?
Yes.
All in all, it's just quite a risk. And I was doing some research ahead of this discussion, and 3 months ago, the United Kingdom, Britain's Advertising Standards Authority, found that two of Viagogo's advertorials misled consumers by failing to state material information, i.e., that there is a chance that the tickets might be rejected by at the event. So, Viagogo interestingly claimed that it was extremely unlikely that a customer would not gain admission to an event after purchasing a ticket through Viagogo, even if the terms and conditions of the event itself purported that resale tickets were prohibited. Less than 1% of customers were denied entry to events after having purchased a ticket on their platform.
I mean, it should not even be any percentage.
But I mean, so that tells me that, you know, obviously people who come right with their tickets don't feel the need to complain to anyone. But I'm saying, we get a steady stream, and there's a Facebook site, also based in the UK, called Victim, singular, Victim of Viagogo. If you go onto Facebook, you will see, and I went on earlier, there's just complaints all the time, Taylor Swift tickets, sporting tickets, whatever. But I'm not getting a deluge every day. So maybe some people are being, you know, allowed entry, which seems a little contradictory to me. So what makes the difference between you getting in and you're not? I would like to understand this. So if we have any listeners who have successfully used Viagogo tickets to enter, you know, stadiums, festivals, whatever, would be lovely to hear from you. And, you know, and also those, of course, who've had the opposite experience, the ones that write to us to say, you know, we couldn't get in. It was a disaster. We traveled, we did whatever, and we just couldn't get in, and the tickets were sold out, or, you know, it was just a dead loss. And whether you had any luck with their guarantee in getting your refund back and getting your money back, rather.
Looking forward to hear, especially these third-party sites, if you had this experience where you buy a ticket via a Viagogo and find yourself now not able to get in. What was your experience? Did you get a refund? We'll continue with Wendy Nola after the news.
702.
Nola knows.
All right, we're still with Wendy Nola on our consumer rights feature, 011883. Yes.
Sorry to interrupt. We should just say that the competition was not timed with the content.
I know it wasn't. I was going to say, every time you kept saying Ticket Pro, I was like, this is such a coincidence.
At Empress Palace.
It was not timed at all. It was an absolute coincidence.
Totally.
But if you are buying tickets, the official site is Ticket Pro, or buy at the venue at Empress Palace, or go to the Palace. Sorry, that was such an interesting coincidence. All right.
Coincidence.
Take your calls on 011-883-0702, the WhatsApp line 072-702-1702. Wendy, before we jump into the topic, which I actually has shared with you around the red sale stickers. Of course I did, because I'm always finding interesting things. I want to go to the lines. We already have a queue of people. So the first person is Sam from Tembisa. Sam, you've got an issue with furniture from a furniture store.
It's a clothing store, man.
Yes, yes, go ahead.
Yes. Okay, my problem is these two stores were joined. When you take from this store, you pay even your account from this store. But more than 5 years ago now, these people are not. When I go to that store sometimes and pay because of, I used to pay my installment in both those stores. Now they said, no, we are not taking credit anymore. All our customers now are paying at the certain store. But now, after 4 years, 5 years, I still them, they sending me messages, you owe us so much. But I know that this store which I'm left with now, I did pay it until I end up being 200 and something, and I still work with them now. When I tell the ladies inside that store, they said to me, ignore those things. I did go to that store, the one that they said they are not taking. Last month, I was there. when I showed them even the slips of where I'm paying, they said, you know, those people are maybe people who are trying to call me or what. We don't take cut here. Now, the question is now, I see that the messages that are coming, it's Nimble or it's what, I don't know. They said you owe what the certain thing. Yes. But when I go to the same store said, no. That one, you mustn't take it. It's not those people. You are not the first person.
Okay.
That's why I don't know what to do.
This is quite complicated because it's not the usual thing. This store and that store, and it's quite hard for me to give advice based on what you've said, Sam. But I will ask you one question. You said you were paying, and then, so when was the last time you paid for that one account that they're now wanting to, that you've now been handed over for?
I'm still paying at this store now, which they said, because of they send us even messages. When to that store, when I go and pay, they said, no, we are not using those cards. But last month, I was still using that card of that other store, which they said they took all their account there. Then what we know is because of a lady there who called himself Elizabeth, said, no, everything now is working together. I did even give a lady who's working in that store where I pay. She said when he tried to speak to them that this account now is one thing, that other store is not taking money again for those things. Everyone pays here. The lady there who was speaking to her said to her, you are not the customer. You are not the customer. Then the lady who was working in the store, he just ran away and said, no, I don't want to be in trouble.
Okay, Sam, so maybe Wendy, in a situation like this, because there's so many details that you'd need to get to try and assist here, is if Sam can send you an email with all the details so that we can see what is legit and what is actually being owed.
With the account number and also the demand from the debt collector, I'll see if I can get to the bottom of it.
Definitely,
but
Sam.
It sounds like he wants to pay, but the mechanics have gone a bit strange, and hopefully I can sort that out for you, Sam, if you give me all the detail that I need, please.
Thank you so much, Sam, for that question. Stay on the line so that Pashida, our producer, can give you Wendy's details. Let's quickly go to Billy in Boksburg. Billy, you've got an issue with the cell phone provider.
Yes, ma'am, I do. I upgraded my cell phone contract on the 18th of Jan. And on the 17th of Jan, apparently, I received my allocation on my old contract that I had. I've been with the same cell phone provider for 20 years. And I've been doing upgrades ever since. And at the end of March, I've got an invoice that charged me for both contracts at the same time. And I phoned in and I said, guys, how do you charge me for two contracts on one number on one network? Your own network providers don't allow it. And it's not like you said, here's another SIM with the airtime and data for you to use it, that I could use it, and they charged me for it. So I said, look, I'm not willing to pay for it. And then I stopped debit order and started paying in cash. And then a few days ago, they decided to cut my line, and I had to go into the store to get the line re-put up. But they still want me to pay for both contracts. I don't know if that's legal or allowed.
Okay. Billy?
Yep.
If I could cut in, it sounds to me, and I've had many cases of these in the past, it sounds like you thought you were doing an upgrade. So in other words, you were, as you've done many times in the past, it's the same contract. Although the word upgrade is misleading, because you're essentially entering into a whole new contract, right? You know, you've got same number, etc. But you are committing yourself to another 2 years lock-in, or sometimes 3 years. Did you get a new device?
No, it's just a SIM only. I just went on with it. And as I said, I've been doing it for 20 years with the same service provider.
So what it sounds like is, it sounds like you acquired a second contract. And this is where we need the recording of that sales call. Have you asked the cell phone provider for that recording?
Yes. What I did was I recorded it myself. I've got my own recording device, and I asked him for the recording. So when I did ask him for the recording, they didn't want to send it to me. I had to go to the cell phone provider's shop, and they were sending it there, and I could only listen to it there. But when I got to the shop, they sent it to me. The shop, the staff in the shop
did they?
Sent it to me. And when I went through Nowhere in the recording was the word forfeiting your previous data or anything in place. And nowhere in the contract is it in place. And I even said, it was never told to me. It was never done before in the past. And now all of a sudden you expect me to pay double on a contract that I couldn't use because MTN cuts your old contract off. So if they give you an allocation of airtime and data, they must give you an allocation of time to spend it on the network, otherwise you can't spend it. So if they decide to cut you off on your own contract and put you on the new one, I can't even spend the allocation that was given because the month to spend it is being removed from me. I can't, I don't have a time on the network to spend it anymore.
Yo, so what do we do in a situation like this, Wendy?
Well, all I can say is send it to me. There seem to be two issues. One is losing the allocation of minutes of data. The other one is he's got two contracts running concurrently. And he stopped payment for that reason. So there are two issues there. And if you could put it in writing, Billy, please, with the cell phone numbers, account number, I'll get in a response from the cell phone company for you.
Thank you so much, Billy in Boxburg. Stay on the line with Pashida. We're going to take a quick break. Miles, I see you and your message is coming through on the WhatsApp line.
702. Nolan knows.
8 minutes to 3 o'clock as we wrap up with Wendy Nolan, our consumer rights feature, Nola Knows. We take your calls, 011-883-0702 in the WhatsApp line, 072-702-1702. We've got Miles in Greenstone. Miles, go ahead.
Hi, Wendy and Relukhide. So my
Miles.
During December, I was hijacked, kidnapped, and robbed, emptying bank accounts and etc. Then Old Mutual iWise decides, no, we're going to repudiate the claim in February. And the reason for repudiation is because as things happen, I fell into arrears with my home loan and my credit cards, and they relied on a material non-disclosure, and for that reason, they decided that no, they're not going to pay out the claim. They validated the claim. They discussed, like I spoke, I even knew that how much was going to be paid out. As soon as it was supposed to be paid out, it was just supposed to go to management. As soon as it got to management, they decided that no, they're going to rely on the material non-disclosure because of non-payment, not even of the vehicle itself, but because of my credit agreements, which have nothing to do with them. Then they went on and cancelled the entire insurance. Where I stand now, I don't even know if, you know, when you call insurance, you say, have you ever been cancelled by insurance before? I don't know whether to say yes or no, because I mean, I don't even understand the cancellation or the repeal.
Let me ask you this, Miles. First of all, sorry, that's a hideous run of bad luck there. At what point did you fall behind with your home loan and your credit cards? Was it at the time the policy was taken out or as a result of being hijacked and robbed and all the?
No. So I've been with them for a couple of years, actually. So last year, I embarked on a project which demanded all my financial money. So I wasn't able to meet some of my demands. So only about in October, I'm told by the insurance that I fell into arrears. And therefore, from October, I wasn't covered.
Oh, so you did fall into arrears with your car premium?
The car premium, yes, but with others as well, car premium and home loan and etc. Yes.
I see. Okay. And did they inform you at the time? Because they're supposed to, if your policy is lapsed due to non-payment.
No. So remember, it's the car premium but my policy itself, the insurance was paid every single month.
It was
the installment of the car that wasn't paid.
So how are the two? So insurance is saying we're not going to pay you out based on the car not being paid, even though they were paid.
Yes.
I've never heard of this.
I'm financed by West Bank.
So it's a separate organization. Miles, I need an email from you, please. And especially, you've named a company, so I do need to give them a right of reply.
Can I just ask, Miles, what was their reason that they gave to you why they're not going to pay out?
Apparently material non-disclosure. So I didn't disclose that I was in arrears. The interesting part as well is that they say they've got a 100,000 rand, what is it? What do I call it? Cap as to how much you can be in arrears by. And I said, but where in your insurance policy does that 100,000 rand even appear? And even when you rely on the non-disclosure, the debt review and et cetera, that just, or default, I think that's the word that they use. I said the default is in relation to when you take up the policy, not during the subsistence of the policy.
Yes.
Again, I sent them an email. They didn't respond. I requested for voice recordings. They didn't respond to that. I even asked them and I said to them, listen, because they said they're going to pay me out, which they did, pay me out the premium from October to February with their repeat access. I said, don't pay that out. Keep that on you because I don't need it for now. Let us take this on further. I mean, I went through the appeal process and et cetera. Nothing came out of it.
So your premiums were up to date. You had missed a premium. But your claim around the hijacking of your car, so your car's gone, right? It was never recovered.
Yes, it's gone. Yes, it was never.
So you never that. So you lost the value of your car, and then they cancelled the policy because of non-disclosure. So you were supposed to, at the time you took out the policy, that you weren't in arrears with anyone, and you were supposed to tell them 2 months before this incident in October, just to let you know, your premium might be being paid, but I'm having some financial issues and I've fallen behind in the payment of this and this and this unrelated to your company. Is that what they're saying you should have done? Or am I misunderstanding?
No, that's exactly how it is.
Wow. Okay, that's a very important insurance case, and I really, really would like to take it up. Miles, if you could email me as soon as possible so I can get my queries off. And we need to find out what happened here.
Miles, you've opened up such an interesting can of worms because just when I think I have heard every single consumer-related issue, we're like, huh? So please make sure you stay on the line to our producer, Pashida. Include all of those details when you have that conversation. A quick one coming through here, Wendy, that says on the WhatsApp line, why do shops ask for your number when one is buying? Example, and they name a couple of them, Cashbuild, Macro, Pool Shop, and a whole lot of them that kind of force you to give your number when you're purchasing. Is this legal? Can I refuse giving my number? That's from Lebo at Woolrow Park.
Presumably you're paying cash or some form of cash like debit card. I would say so, yes, absolutely. I do. They'll say, it's for loyalty or whatever. I said, well, you're not telling me anything about your loyalty. It's for you to have my records with you, my personal information. We have the Protection of Personal Information Act, Poppy Act, and I can't see how, if there isn't a need for them to have your number, how it's relevant. You're doing an exchange. You're giving them cash, whatever form of payment for what they're selling, end of. They don't need your personal information.
Okay. And I think that is the case if you find yourself in that situation. Thank you so much for all of your calls. Wendy, Nola, we will pick up on our agenda next week.
Yes, yes, indeed.